This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, I'm Corin Nemec, and you are listening to Geeks Out on Joy.
Corin Nemec, now there was an encounter and a half.
Definitely. You were very excited, I think.
I was. It was like, oh, cool, I get to cover, I think it was Oz Comic Con a couple of years ago. It was like, oh boy, all these people. Folks,
Parker
Lewis can't lose. I got to tell him, it's like, hey, my friend Catherine has had a crush on you since you were in high school, so there we go. You are back on Geeks Out. Miranda Sparks here with Clayton Wimshurst. Clayton, you had a birthday recently.
I did.
And your gift to yourself, I understand, was... Well, actually, I'll let you explain to the world.
So, no, actually, this was my birthday present last year. So, this has actually taken a while to come into activation. So, this was not my birthday present to myself. I was given this by friends. And my friend who has her birthday in January, they just kind of gave us the gifts at the same time. And here.
So this has been a while coming.
It has.
Yeah, and I think it's a gift from a friend who really knows you too, and what you're into. So, what was the gift?
So, it was a sleepover at Pentridge Prison in Melbourne, in Coburg, for a ghost tour / sleepover / pizza night.
Now, you're going to tell us in a minute if there were actually ghosts there and if they wanted some pizza.
Yes, and of course they did.
Now, we actually have a little clip of you from the event. This was just a Friday night.
This is just a few. It's not one clip exactly. It's just like a few audio grabs.
All right. So this is Clayton at Pentridge Prison on Saturday night.
That's what I thought I was. It's
like an hour eventually.
So we just found the electrical listings on a piece of paper that does look antique. I feel like we're in a video game where random things appear and you have to do something with them in order to get out. But you'd
sort of press on it to see what different options.
Yeah, or like an escape room. A lockbox. Thinking these are for the renovations. Or the next part of the video game. We'll find the key in a random cell somewhere. Alright, if there's anybody in this room other than Sarah or myself, I'm such a teacher. If there's anybody in the room...
Please, if there's anybody in the room.
So make the dowsing rods cross was kind of the main thing that we were doing. So
you had dowsing rods in hand.
We had dowsing rods in hand, along with some other technology, something called a K2, which is like a little light up thingy, a EMF reader, a ghost radio thing, which is scans frequencies to try and get ghosts.
I'm just imagining that thing like in Ghostbusters, you know, with the little antennae that pop out the side.
Oh, it definitely was not far off that. So, yeah. Look, we got to play with a whole lot of ghost hunting technology, which was pretty awesome. Even down to your basic laser thermometer, which you could use to tell the kind of temperatures around the room. So this was one run by Lantern Ghost Tours, who have sort of the rights to do this. And, you know, it was a really great experience. I was worried about being too scared to go, even though I am a massive skeptic. I don't believe in ghosts.
Yeah, but I was about to ask, are you a believer?
I'm not, or a believer.
Don't stop. Believe or stop.
I stopped believing. No. It's the one thing I want to believe in more than anything is ghosts. Like, I really want to believe in ghosts, but I'm the type of person who requires empirical evidence for everything.
I mean, you are a science teacher. So
yeah.
This is how you work.
It is. So I do these sort of things. I go on ghost tours. For one, I love the history you get from it. So it's not always about what's happening around the ghosts, but it's just the history of the place. And I found out so much stuff about Pentridge Prison. Like, it used to be a women's prison. It actually started as a women's prison, and then it was a mixed gender prison with a gate in between.
I didn't know that was a thing.
No, neither did I. So there were separate parts of the prison were men's and women's, but it was actually just divided by like a metal gate. It wasn't like hugely separated or anything.
Now I'm just imagining a drama where, like, you know, a pair of lovers are there on either side of the bars and just being like, She used to bring me roses.
Well, I wish she would again. So that's the thing, is that there are a lot of babies born in this prison, and initially it was because of guards interacting with the female prisons, which I will not use any of the words that I could possibly say there.
I mean, either way, it's not savory.
No. And then later on, you know, there's probably, even though the male and female prisoners were kept separate, there are ways and means around these things. I've watched enough prison shows to know that.
Absolutely. Now, did you find your empirical evidence?
Unfortunately, I did not. I did not have anything that proved to me that there were any ghosts within the location.
Now, but your friend has a different idea.
My friend and pretty much everybody else on the tour except for me believed that there was definitely supernatural experiences happening. So at one point we were inside what was called the wet rooms, which is where they would put you if you were drunk or otherwise kind of mentally unhinged. I can't think of good words. I'm sorry. Having a mental breakdown.
Either way, if you're not in of sound mind.
That's a really good one. Let's go with that. So they put you in this sweat cell with like 10 other prisoners and they just let you sober up or whatever else. So we stood in that room and there was quite a lot of action happening with the dowsing rods in terms of asking questions and they were crossing and things like that. And a lot of people, for that was their evidence. They had enough evidence around that. Mm. I was very aware that these dowsing rods responded so easily to any slight movement of the hand. So to for them to be crossing and moving, you had to move like a quarter of a millimeter.
I imagine, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're playing on a Ouija board with friends and then you accidentally, you know, you end up spelling words from the spirits like poo and bum.
But I did make sure I do was I remained respectful throughout the night and making sure I didn't question people's beliefs. And I challenged a couple of little things, like people were pointing a thermometer and saying the temperature was changing, and I was very aware that where the laser was pointing, it's because they were pointing the thermometer at people and the wall, you're going to get different readings. But that's probably because I understand how the technology works.
Now, you know, one of the most haunted aspects doesn't necessarily need to mean ghosts.
No.
Do you get the sense, you know, walking into this environment, the lingering sense of something messed up happened here?
I think any prison has that automatic sense, but that's probably how, again, television, but I think those things do a lot happen. You definitely get the feeling that it was not a nice place. The cells were tiny. The conditions were clearly challenging. This is the location where Chopper Reed was. Like, he was actually in this prison, and we actually spent time in his cell.
So this isn't actually a prison that's been, you know, shut down like in the 40s or 50s or whatever. This is something that's in our conceivable lifetime.
I believe 1997.
Damn.
Yeah, like, this is fairly recent. Standing in Chopper Reed's cell trying to communicate with Chopper Reed through the technology was interesting, seeing people's reactions to that. And definitely the feeling from a lot of people was there was a lot of spiritual activity happening throughout the location.
I'm just imagining, you know, the spirit of Chopper Reed lingering and being like, buy my book. Give my family royalties.
Well, yeah, I think that's what he might have said.
I wouldn't put it past him.
So one thing that was interesting was I was really worried that when I slept, because it was a sleepover tour, a lot of people just stayed up all night and just ghost hunted all night. And if you're going to do this, that is what I recommend. That is actually what you should do. I'm old. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go get some sleep. And I did check out my cell to see if there was any ghosts in my cell, and nobody communicated inside my cell. So that was nice. Mm-hmm. But what was interesting was that I wasn't as afraid. I thought once I'd close the door, the lights were out, I'd be like freaking out, because as much as I don't believe, I scare myself though from watching YouTube. Like, I don't want horror movies don't scare me, but real footage scares me, even though I don't believe it. Complicated.
I mean, there's the thing, you know, like the human brain is so adept at self-deception and looking for patterns that aren't there and frightening you and searching out danger, and you would have thought that that would be the experience here.
Yeah, but my brain did not. So they're looking for pattern thing called pareidolia. So that was what I taught my friend Sarah, who was with me. I explained, you know, what pareidolia was and seeing patterns and things that and seeing faces and things that weren't necessarily there and whatever else.
I mean, it's ironic because it's, you know, one of humanity's more distinctive traits from the rest of the animal kingdom.
Absolutely.
And yet in this way, it works against us so much.
Mm-hmm. And it did in this case, I think. People felt like they saw stuff. I was more aiming to pareidolia. But again, I respect the fact that that's what they felt, and I let them express that without challenging them or anything like that. Because I think that was important. And it was, if my learning experience, it was important that I actually experienced how they ghost hunt and stuff. And me challenging them would not have given me that experience.
I mean, at the very least, you know, you get some great stories out of this.
Yeah, and I did. But one of the interesting was I did actually get a photo that was, you know, could be questioned as having some spiritual activity happening in it. Now, very intentionally, I did not show you this before the show because I wanted to show you live on air.
Okay, we're going to see my reaction live on air.
Yeah, right, so here we go. See, have a look at the photo and see what you think. Is it? Do you want to describe the photo?
There is a woman with curly blonde hair sitting on the ground in a cell with a white painted wall. Looks like a wooden floor. There is a smear of white, which could be, you know, like a bit of, I know, I think lens flare is the wrong word. There could be a smudge on the lens. But it also could be a ghostly trapdoor into an ethereal realm, which is definitely what that is.
So that is my friend Sarah, and she has a friend who runs ghost tours and does spiritual readings and things like that. And he felt that it was a ghost orb moving across the camera as I took the photo. So different interpretations. I can't explain exactly what's happening in the photo, so I will confess that it's not what I would say is normal. Mm-hmm. But I also have a thing where I don't believe in ghosts, so I would be looking for that explanation as to what.
I mean, you know, two explanations. You know, a ghost becomes an orb because, you know, an orb is the most energy efficient shape in, you know, the universe. Secondly, because, you know, they're genderqueer and wanted to shuck off gender and they're like, I'm an orb now. That's the one I choose to go with.
Yeah. Look, I'm happy to say that I am really happy that people believe this stuff, and I would not challenge it any more than I would challenge a religion, presiding that religion respects me. I only respect religions that respect me. That's my my approach to that. So as long as this spirituality and belief is going to respect me at the same time.
So you're in Chopper Reed's cell.
Yeah.
Like, are there any other interesting sort of figures that you picked up on while there?
There's a couple of serial killers. There was the last person who was hung. Last man and woman both hung in this prison. Sorry, let me try that in English. The last man and woman to be hung in Australia were both hung at this prison.
I think actually the particular English, you know, when you're actually talking about strangling someone, yeah, who's, is hanged.
Hanged. Okay, cool.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the only time hanged is acceptable, is when you're talking about strangling someone with a noose.
Okay, I will accept that. Yes. I'll accept your belief. No.
You'll accept my belief so long as it respects you.
Exactly. So, yeah, and also Ned Kelly was hanged here.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and he was buried here at Pentridge as well, and his body was excavated from that site and moved to Melbourne jail.
Now, when was the last execution in Australia? Do you know?
50s. I can't remember. The women was 50s. The men was about 1962. Wow. I think women was 1951.
Wow.
Yeah. And look, the stories behind them, they're definitely worth looking up. They're very interesting stories. I'm not going to go into any of them because I don't feel like I can speak with enough authority on them, and I don't want to give half information.
Okay, so give us a bit of information for folks who might want to check this out.
So if you Google Lantern Ghost Tours, and you'll be able to find how to do, where to locate stuff. I don't have the address off the top of my head, but it is also the Pentridge Prison Sleepover. Well, I think pretty sure you will find it from that.
Through Lantern Tours.
Lantern Ghost Tours.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.